In your prayers this morning. I want to notice a passage you find in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. I probably won't stay here long, but I want to lay a foundation here from John 7. The situation is where Jesus has been speaking and actually has been healing on the Sabbath day. And that angered the Jews. Remember that? We have a number of cases where the Lord did that. And he makes this statement in John chapter 7, verse 28. Then Jesus cried in the temple as he taught, saying, "Ye both know me, and ye know whence I am. And I am not come of myself, but he that sent me is true, whom ye know not." Then cried, but I know him, for I am from him, and he hath sent me. Then we change to the black letters. Then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him, because his hour was not yet come. He had a work to do. No man was going to interfere with the work that he had to accomplish. And many of the people believed on him and said, When Christ cometh, will he do more miracles than these which this man hath done?" They're taking note of this man. This man. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him, and the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. So you see what's happening. As Jesus is preaching truth, there are those that are not receiving this truth, and as a matter of fact, they don't want him to continue teaching that truth. So they sent officers to take him. Now, we already just read to you that there was a time when they tried to lay hands on him and couldn't, and we're told why. Because his hour was not yet come. Well, they got to send officers to take him. Well, if his hour's not yet come, they're not going to have any success either, are they? All right? So, in the interest of time, I want to drop down to verse 45. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they say unto him, "Why have ye not brought him?" Well, you can answer that question by now, can't you? His hour evidently has not yet come. All right, so why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, "Never man spake like this man." Now, I've preached that a number of times. Never man spake like this man. I want to give a little different emphasis to the subject under consideration. The reason that never man spake like this man is because there was never a man like this man. You see, that makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? It's this man that's coming back to gather us up and take us home to be with him. It's this man that went to the cross and shed his precious blood to redeem us from all of our sins that we've already committed and that we are yet to commit. Jesus died to pay our sin debt, and he paid it in full. This man. And it's this man that they saw go ascend into heaven after his resurrection. There in John, Acts chapter 1, what is it, verse 11, the angel said, "Why, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus, which ye've seen go away, shall come again in like manner." He's coming back. And he's coming back to get all he paid for. Everyone for whom he died, when Jesus comes back, he's going to gather them all up without the loss of one. Isn't that glorious? You know, every time we get together, there's some folks missing. Every time we have a family reunion, there's some folks missing. Every time you plan a big event, there's some folks missing. But bless your hearts, when Jesus, when he comes again, which is going to be the pinnacle of, of all the Father gave him to do, when he died to save us from our sins, he arose again for our justification, he ascended back into heaven, but someday he's coming again. There was never a man like this man. Now the Jews highly reverenced Moses. And they didn't question Moses' words because they knew that Moses spoke with God as a friend does speak face to face. They knew, as a matter of fact, when Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with those tables of stone, nobody questioned, it had to be the second set, right? Because when he came down the first time, they were all dancing around a golden calf and he'd only been gone 40 days. And he broke those tables of stone. But he went back and he had to chisel out that set. And when he went back, God wrote it again. But Israel never questioned whether or not that indeed was the word of God. Because before Moses went up there, God had thundered his laws, his Ten Commandments from heaven. And the people heard the terrible voice of God and said, Moses, you speak to God. Let not God speak to us anymore. They exceedingly feared and trembled at the voice of God. Oh, brethren, I would that today, just God's people would tremble at the voice of God. I know the world is never going to do that. It'd be wonderful if they would. But I'm concerned that God's people don't even tremble at the voice of God. We have to remember God is who he is. There's so many people that are worshiping a God that they want today instead of the God that he is. They want him to be like this. They want him to be like that. They don't want him to be like this, even though his word reveals to us exactly how he is. And until God's people humble themselves and follow him as the God that he is, I don't see much hope of change in this world. We need to worship him as he is. And when he sent his son to this world, there was never a man like this man. Now, I want to deal with that for a little while. Good, we don't have a clock back there now, so I can go as long as I want to, right? Don't worry. I want to go to Isaiah 53. We're talking about there was never a man like this man. Now, we know that they said never a man spake like this man, but I want to, for a little while, I want to deal with the fact that there was never a man like this man. And I want to use some scriptures that I've been quoting at for several messages, it seems like here. But I want to deal with some of those scriptures specifically this morning. I don't remember ever taking this route, so I pray, ask an interest in your prayers. Isaiah 53. We know Isaiah 53 is speaking about the Lord Jesus. Okay, I've gone through that proof many times, but when the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, was reading from Isaiah, and Philip was told by the Spirit to join himself. We're told what he was reading, and we're told that the eunuch said, of whom speaketh the prophet, of himself or some other man? And it says, Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him, Jesus. And what he was reading was from what we know as Isaiah 53. Now back then, he just had a scroll, and it wasn't divided into verses and chapters like we have it today. But nevertheless, this is the portion of scripture he was reading. All right? I want to notice from some of this why there was never a man like this man. Now you already know this, but I want to come at it from a different perspective, a different set of verses. Isaiah 53 begins, "Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" Verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire of him." That should dispel some of these pictures, these depictions that we see of Jesus. He had no comeliness. There was no beauty about him that when we see him, we should desire to see him or desire him. There was nothing natural about the Lord Jesus when he came that would attract anyone to him from the natural perspective. He wasn't wealthy. He wasn't handsome. He wasn't head and shoulders taller than the others like Saul of Kish. He had none of that. But there was never a man like this man. And what I want to get out of what I've read to you from Isaiah 53 is that he shall be as a root out of a dry ground. A root out of a dry ground. Brother Jim said we need to be praying for rain. Why do we need rain? Because nothing's going to grow if you don't have moisture. Right? A root out of a dry ground. How can that happen? How's a plant going to grow out of a dry ground? This is contrary to nature, right? We understand, you know, plants need moisture. That's why when they send their probes to Mars, they're looking for water. They're looking for moisture. In their mind, life cannot exist without moisture, water. This man, never a man like this man. He's a root out of a dry ground. That in itself speaks to us about the virgin birth. That when the angel appeared to Mary, and Mary eventually said, "How shall these things be, seeing I know not a man?" That's the Bible's discreet way of telling us she has not engaged in what's necessary for a child to be born. And yet she's going to have a child. Because this child is going to be like no other child. Conceived of the Holy Ghost. The only begotten of the Father. The scripture speaks of him as the only begotten of the Father. Well, aren't we children of God? Yes, but we're children of God by adoption. Christ, the Lord Jesus, is the only begotten of the Father. And he came forth as a root out of dry ground. The way he was born was not natural. I mean, it was naturally done, but the way he was conceived, I guess, was not the natural way of doing things. It was of God, by the Holy Spirit, overshadowing Mary, and she conceived. All right? A root out of a dry ground. If that had not happened, if God had not exercised his power upon that situation, then it could never have happened. Okay? A root out of a dry ground. Now let's notice some of the scriptures that speaks of this. I want to go back to Genesis 17. Genesis 17. In the interest of time, I'm going to start at verse 15. Genesis 17, verse 15. "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her." Now, that expression, "I will bless her." Tuck that away in your mind. Hold on to that. "And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Now, wait a minute. He's talking about giving a son to Sarah. Sarah is 90 years old. How's this going to work? How's that going to happen? You understand as well as I do that there's reasons that God gives children to young folks. There's just a lot of reasons God gives children to young folks, right? Young and old alike are saying, yes, that's true, that's true. We understand that. But here's Abraham, 99 years old, and here's Sarah, 90 years old, and God says, I'm going to give you a son of Sarah. Now, he emphasizes that. He's going to say it again, of Sarah. You know why he's emphasizing that? Because he'd been telling them for a long time he's going to give them a seed, a child. Well, Abraham and Sarah got tired of waiting on the Lord, and they had an Ishmael through Hagar. But that wasn't the promised child. But that tells us something. That tells us that at that time, Abraham was still able to have children. But Sarah wasn't. Well, by now, at 99, we'll find out from these verses that we're going to read that not only was Sarah not able to have a child naturally, but Abraham is not able to help in that situation either. Isn't that amazing? That when God would give us the illustration and the natural example that illustrates his children, his promised children being born, it's not by natural means. It has to be by the power of God. Now, you can preach to somebody all you want to. You can give them as many tracts as you want to. You can tell them, give them all kinds of formulas and tell them do this and do that and pray to this and pray through that and all this kind of stuff, but it's never going to produce a child of God. It's not going to cause them to be born again. And that's illustrated by what God did with Abraham and Sarah and Isaac. Okay? That's just Bible truth. I don't care that we're greatly outnumbered in the world that's saying there's another way for people to be born again of the Spirit. It is not the truth. This tells us how it happens. God, by his power, causes us to be born again. All right? So, verse 16 again. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her, yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. They're going to be born. Isaac is the first one. He's going to be born of her. All right? Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. You catch that? We're going to read something in a little bit about Sarah laughing, and God's going to take notice of that. Yes, he is. She's going to deny it. But he's going to tell her, oh yes, you did. You did. You know, I think that's there so that we don't have any doubt about the matter. God said, you laughed. Sarah said, no, I didn't. God said, you did. And that's where it's left. She did. Okay. But I've got a little note here. And if you, when you look up the kind of laugh that Abraham laughed, it was a laugh in rejoicing. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And Abraham, when God said this, he rejoiced. He didn't know how it was going to be done, I don't think. But he rejoiced in it. He received the word because God said it. And if God said it, it's truth. And oh, that God's people would be that way today. If God said it, it's truth. If God said it, that's what I need to do. If God said it, that's what needs to guide me and make my decision for me. The word of truth. So what we read here, Abraham rejoiced. He laughed, but it was a laughter of rejoicing. All right? And said it, okay, Abraham laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? Oh, wait a minute. He's only 99. Yeah, but it's going to take a while, isn't it? You know, that normal period of time. By the time it comes around, he's going to be 100 years old. And shall, let's see, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear? And Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Do you realize here's another child whose name was given before he was born? God named this child Isaac. God has a very good reason for showing us that this indeed is his work. All right? I want to go over into Genesis 18 now. Genesis 18. You know, those three that came to visit Abraham. And one of them, evidently, was the Lord. That's the way it's worded. I'm just going to take it for what it is. All right? And I want to go down to verse 9. 18, verse 9. They said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. Right? According to the time of life. That period of time that it takes for a baby to grow in the womb. Okay? And lo, Sarah, thy wife, shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old. That, it says old and well stricken in age. Well, that sounds redundant, doesn't it? But there's meaning there. Yes, they were well stricken in age, but they were also old, which is an indication that they were beyond the ability to have children. God makes this clear in his word that it's going to be by his power and not the efforts of man. Because this is representing the birth of the promised child. And you go forward, fast forward, I'll detour here into Galatians chapter 4. What is it, verse 18 or 28, one or the other. But Paul says, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. So just as it took the power of God for the children, for Isaac, the child of promise, just as it took the power of God for him to be born, it takes the power of God for us as the children of promise to be born also. That's the lesson that we're being taught in all of this. Okay? All right? So he says, now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Okay? Again, just more language about this. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also? She's just acknowledging their condition, naturally, that they're not able to do this. But God's not depending upon them to do this, right? And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh? Now this must be a different kind of laugh, because God didn't call attention to Abraham laughing. Abraham laughed in a way of rejoicing, of believing God and rejoicing. But Sarah, evidently, like a lot of times when we hear something that's kind of hard to believe, we'll say, really? And I take that as the way Sarah, but don't get too hard on Sarah now, because we're going to find later that that didn't keep her from believing God. But it was her initial reaction, and she laughed. And so the Lord said, wherefore did Sarah laugh? saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. I cover that because, brethren, sometimes we wonder, can this really be the truth? Sarah did laugh, all right? So I want us to notice God said she did laugh. Now, I turned away too quickly. Back in Genesis, if we keep going a little bit farther to where this child was born, in Genesis 21, I'll begin in verse 5. This is after the birth of Isaac. Verse 5, and Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. Isn't that amazing? All right, and Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. God said he was going to do that. She laughed about it. Perhaps at first didn't believe it. But the more she thought about it, and again, like I said, when we get over to the book of Hebrews, we'll find out she did believe God. But her initial response was that she laughed when God said, you're going to have a child. But we find that Sarah said, when Isaac was born, God hath made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. Bless your hearts. That's what God did after Abraham and Sarah had the ability to have a child. Then the promised child was given by the power of God. Now let's go to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, there's so much that's being said here about, I like to call Hebrews 11, I like to call it the hall of faith. Men have a hall of fame. That's fine. God has a hall of faith. And it's in Hebrews chapter 11. And he goes through so many of the faithful. And obviously he's going to deal with Abraham and Sarah. So I'm going to begin in verse 11. Hebrews 11, verse 11. You know, now I know that these verse numbers, they're not inspired. The Word of God is inspired. But just because John 3:16 happens to be John 3:16, that doesn't mean that God inspired the 3:16. And I'm not saying that this 11:11 is inspired. But when I read that and I see all those ones, what it points me to is it points me back to God, that this is all of God, that man didn't do any of this, that God is the one that brought it to pass. All right? So Hebrews 11:11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Received strength. Do you remember that verse that I told you to hang on to back in Genesis 17? God says, I will bless her. And that's how he blessed her. He blessed her. Remember I said there's reasons that God gives children to young folks? There's a lot of strength needed for that, isn't it? That's a hard process on the body. It takes a lot of the nutrients from the body to do that. And when you're older in years, a lot of times you don't have a good store of those nutrients. I mean, there's just all kinds of reasons why Sarah would think that this is preposterous. But bless your hearts, what matters is that God said, this is what I'm going to do. And so when God says, this is what I'm going to do, he provided the strength, he provided the blessings, he provided all that was necessary for that to come to pass. So we find, through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because remember I said, don't be too hard on Sarah. She did have that initial reaction, but listen to what the inspired word of God in the New Testament tells us about Sarah. Here's the lasting testimony about her laughing. She was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. Does that help you to have a better attitude about Sarah when she laughed? You know, I think some folks never have heard or read that portion of Scripture because there's a lot of folks that criticize Sarah for laughing. But she was just doing what a lot of all of us would do. Don't you know we do the same thing? If we hear something that sounds like an impossibility, it's very possible that we would react in the same way. But evidently, when Sarah had time to think about it. Now, I don't know if it was after she and Abraham talked about it or whatever, but whatever happened, when she had time to think about it, she judged that God was faithful who had made the promise. Now that's amazing. Because that's what we need to do. When we understand the promises of God, when we understand that he has promised eternal life to his people, bless your hearts, that we can rejoice in that. We can rejoice that he's given us eternal life. He's promised that heaven will be our home. We can rejoice in that. And so as we think about what the scriptures told us, that she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. Pause right there. Who's he talking about? Who's the writer talking about here? Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. It's referring to Abraham. This child was born of Abraham, while Abraham, by his own natural ability, was as good as dead. In other words, now Abraham had life, natural life, but he didn't have the ability to bring forth this child. But faith is being spoken of here. Therefore sprang there even of one, Abraham, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. I love it when God speaks of his family in that way. As the stars in the heavens and as the sands upon the seashore. Anybody want to try to count those? They're innumerable to us, but to God, they're known individually. He knows that number, but it's innumerable to us. And I love it when Abraham, God had promised Abraham, and Abraham said, you know, what shall you give me, seeing I go childless? And evidently it was at night, because God led him out and said, look at the stars. Tell the stars if thou canst number them. That's what he means by tell the stars. Count them. And I'm satisfied that Abraham probably thought, well, there's no way I can count all this. Now listen, he was in a desert place. Now someday, that's on my bucket list. Someday I want to be out in the desert at night. I want to be able to see the stars, because I've seen pictures that the stars are just so numerous, so much more than what we can see, especially if you've got a light source close by and you can't see a lot of those things. I want to see that. I want to see that for myself, the multitude of stars. I know they're beyond number. I just want to see it. But listen, that was the object lesson that God gave to Abraham to show him how many children he was going to have. Like the stars of the sky and the sands upon the seashore. Because you see, when God said that, it was still going to be a long time before God was going to fulfill this promise. But God gave Abraham something that he could do every night. When the time got long and he began to doubt God and wonder if God was going to fulfill his promise, all he had to do is look up into the stars and remember that God said, this is how many seed you're going to have. Isn't that amazing? And you know, God's given us some promises. And all you need to do, you know, like we said at the beginning of song service this morning, you want to get rich quick? Count your blessings. Count your blessings. They're more than you can number. They're more than you can remember. You'll get rich really quick, spiritually speaking. You'll begin to understand better just how rich you are in Christ. So count your blessings. Just like God said, look at those stars. Tell the stars if thou'll be able to count them. So shall your seed be. And bless your hearts, our blessings are more than we can number. And that ought to encourage us. In those times when we get discouraged, times when we're disappointed, times when something hasn't happened that we want it to happen, or whatever that myriad of situations can be that can cause us to be disappointed or cast down, just start counting your blessings. It's not going to change your circumstances, but it's sure going to help you to deal with it. All right? So, let's see, where were we? Him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky multitude, and the sand which is by the sea. These all died in faith, not having received the promise, but was persuaded of them. Abraham believed God, even when he was not physically capable of doing what God said was going to happen. God was the one that was going to give the power. And bless your hearts, that's what we need as well. Now, I'm going to go to one other passage here. I got to hurry through this. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. There's another passage that speaks about this time, because what we're talking about is that this child that was born, there was never a man like this man. There's ample passages of Scripture to tell us that he was not just a man, that he was born of God. He is the only begotten of the Father. The reason I'm taking so much time with this morning is to show you, I mean, we've got an awful lot of people in pulpits in this country today that don't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe that Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. But this word tells us he is. And so we're covering this morning some of those passages that speak to those things. All right. I'm going to begin in Romans chapter 4, beginning in verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed. The promise of eternal life. The promise that Jesus would come and die for our sins to save us. It's a faith. But it's not the faith that you manufacture. It's what God gives us. Because when God gives us eternal life, and when he gives us that new birth, when he gives us eternal life, faith is part of that. It's not of man. We can't manufacture it ourselves. It's not something that men can do, just like what we noticed that when Isaac was born, when he was conceived, it took the power of God to bring him to pass, and it takes the power of God for us to be born of the Spirit today, to be a new creature in Christ. To be the born-again child of God takes the power of God. All right? Now, faith is in those who are born of the Spirit. Okay? So that the promise might be sure to all the seed. And I want to emphasize this. I mean, I labor this point because when you say that through the efforts of man, somebody can be born of the Spirit, become a child of God, then you're straying from the Scriptures. Not only that, but if that's the way it has to happen, then it's limited to what men have done. What about all the people that never heard the gospel? What about all the people that never were blessed to hear the glorious gospel of salvation through Jesus' blood? If some folks say that we have to carry the gospel so that they can be saved and not lost, then that salvation is limited to the efforts of man. But he's saying here, therefore it's of faith that it might be by grace, not works, but grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but that also which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. All right? Since it's by faith, since it's by grace and not works, then all of the seed, all of God's chosen, are saved by the blood of Christ. It's not limited to the efforts of man. You know, the gospel didn't go to some places. Millions of people have lived and died and never heard the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are people who are mentally incompetent of comprehending the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are babies that have been aborted from the womb that never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. My point is, God takes care of his work to all of his that are chosen in Christ. There are some that would say, well, that doctrine of election, you know, that just leaves out so many. No, it doesn't. It takes in all of those that men haven't been able to get to. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and how that... that God chose his people before the foundation of the world, that he sends his Spirit into their heart when it pleases him, that he sent his Son into this world to save us from our sins by shedding his precious blood, and when he died for all that were chosen in him before the foundation of the world so that none should be lost. Everyone that he chose in Christ are saved by his blood, and everyone, as we began our message this morning, everyone that are saved by his blood, he's coming back to get us and take us home to be with him. Because God is going to take care of that work. And he didn't leave it in the hands of men. Now we have the glorious privilege of preaching the gospel. We have the glorious privilege of sounding forth the trumpet, the good news of salvation through Christ. But it's salvation by the grace of God, not by the works of man. All right, so let's keep reading. Excuse me. Let's keep reading in Romans chapter 4. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, Abraham believed God, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. What was not? Abraham and Sarah were not able to have a child. But God quickened them and blessed them to have a child. He blessed life to come forth. All right. Well, we're not able to cause a child of God to be born again. But God is the one who does the quickening and brings it forth. All right. So here again, using Abraham and Sarah as the example, then we find again this truth being taught to us. All right, so I'm going to read verse 17 again. As is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope. What hope, naturally speaking, did Abraham have that they were going to have a child? He didn't have any. Naturally speaking, he had no hope whatsoever. But against hope, against that hope, he believed in hope. Faith in him enabled him to lay hold upon God's promise. If God said it, it's going to be so. Even though I don't have any hope, naturally speaking, that this can be, if God said it, I believe it, that's it. It's not dependent upon our belief, but our rejoicing is. All right? So against hope, he believed in hope. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. God said it. And he believes it. And being not weak in faith. Now this is important. We know what happened with Abraham. He was not weak in faith. He trusted God. He believed God. God blessed him. Now if the scriptures speak of Abraham as not being weak in faith, is there a possibility that we can be weak in faith? And the answer is yes. Sometimes we haven't believed God. Sometimes we haven't trusted God. Sometimes we've looked at that promise and said, yeah, sure. Like Sarah did, and laugh. Oh, may God help us to be strong in faith. Now, he gives us the faith. There's nothing faulty about what God gives us. But we need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Largely by reading this book. I hope you get some of it from preaching, but largely by reading and asking the Lord to give you understanding of his word, because his word is the story of salvation. This is his revealed will to his people of what he has done for us. All right? So Abraham was strong in faith. So being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. Boy, how many times have we read this already from the Word of God? I think God is telling us over and over and over that we get the point. Considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Here we have plainly that both of them, or neither one of them, was able to have a child. Naturally. But God wasn't dependent upon them. And bless your hearts, God doesn't depend upon us. Causing His children to be born of the Spirit is His work. But how much we enjoy the blessings that we have in this life has a lot to do with how weak in the faith we are and how much we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I say weak in the faith, that takes away from our blessings. But the more we grow in grace and the knowledge of the truth, the more mature our faith is. And how, that's what we need to rejoice in this life. All right? Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Oh, how often has the Bible shown us examples of God's people being guilty of unbelief? Do you remember when God, by His power, delivered His people out of Egypt? I mean, that was miraculous, wasn't it? Over and over and over and over and over and over again, miraculous. The miracles that He wrought. All right? Then they came to the Red Sea. Oh, Lord, we can't do anything. The enemy's coming. He opened the Red Sea. And they were able to cross on dry land the Red Sea. And the very enemies that were pursuing them went across the dry land of the Red Sea, but God caused the waters to enclose upon them and drown them. God miraculously and by His power delivered His people. He didn't depend upon them for that. Then when they got to the point of spying out the land that God had promised them, and Moses sent the spies over to see if it was the good land that God had promised. Here's another promise, wasn't it? All right. The men came back and all 12 of those spies said it is the good land that God said it was. But 10 of the 12 says, but. Here's unbelief. But there's giants in the land. And we are not able to take it. God didn't depend upon them to take the land. You see, there's so many times in our lives we're guilty of unbelief because we want to trust ourselves instead of God. And I would encourage you this morning, as we're talking about this man was like no other man, and he was brought to this earth like no other man has ever been brought to this earth, and this child of God who is born of the Spirit, okay, has to be born by the power of God. And as we go through life, and as we face the challenges of life, God does not depend upon us and our power to get us through. He would have us trust Him. Believe His word. He said He'll never leave us nor forsake us. Do you believe that? Do you trust that? Are you walking in the promise, that blessed promise this morning? See, there's so many things that God has promised, but we, through unbelief, are weak in faith, and we don't see the fruit from it because we haven't trusted God. Now, I know life gets hard sometimes, and I don't want to belittle any of that. But even, whatever comes, it's still a matter of trusting God, no matter what. All right? So he says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. There's been times in my life that I've had to say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I'm trusting You. And I encourage you to do the same thing. And perhaps you've already been doing the same thing. There are times where we don't know how something needs to happen. But if it's something that's good, if it's something that would be pleasing to God, and we don't see a way, God has a way. If it's His will, if He's pleased to bring it to pass, He can do it. He's able. So let us not stagger in unbelief, but let's trust God, giving glory to His name. All right? And listen, and being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. I love that verse, because that's just an emphatic statement that whatever God has promised to do, He is able to perform. I don't know how many times I've drawn strength from that one verse of Scripture in my life. All right? And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Bless your hearts. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the only begotten of the Father? Do you believe that he was like no other man? You know, I didn't go back to Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. His name shall be called Emmanuel. I know the New Testament says his name should be called Jesus, but in the Old Testament it said he was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And that's what he was. That's what he is. God manifest in the flesh, like we preached last Sunday. He is God manifest in the flesh. No other man was like this man. Maybe for a minute or so, think about the verse that I gave you to begin with out of John chapter 7. Those soldiers came back and said, "Never man spake like this man." I think they observed some things. I think they saw him do some miracles. I think that there were some things that Jesus was able to say that no other man had been able to say. And you just think about all the times that he spoke and people were healed. You know, just very quickly, there was a man with a palsy, Matthew chapter 8. And his servant was a man's servant was sick. And he said, "Just speak the word, and my servant shall be healed." Bless your hearts, he did. There was a man with a deformed hand. That was one of those that was on the Sabbath, by the way. Jesus said, "Stretch forth thy hand." And he did. And it was restored to wholeness, just like his other one. There was the lepers, Matthew chapter 8, they said, "Lord, just speak the words and we shall be clean." He said, "I will. Be thou clean." And they were. Never man spake like this man. And we could keep going over to countless examples. Well, they're accountable, but a multitude of examples in the Scripture where he spoke the word and they were healed. He showed his power. The reason that we need to read those on a regular basis, the reason we need to be reminded of those things on a regular basis, bless your hearts, is because what he has promised, he is able to perform. So never was there a man like this man. Not only could he speak and heal, bless your hearts, there was a time when there was a great storm, and he said, "Peace, be still." There was a great calm. And they said, "What manner of man is this? That even the sea and the wind obey him." This is the manner of man I'm talking to you about this morning. The one who's able, what he has promised, he is able to perform. Why do I keep repeating that? Because he said in John chapter 14, "Because I live, ye shall live also." Do you believe that promise? Are you trusting in that promise? There is nothing that can keep us from that promise being fulfilled. Bless your hearts. What he has promised, he is able to perform. Sometimes when he speaks, he heals some naturally. But he was also able to speak and raise the dead naturally. Remember Jairus' daughter? She died. But he raised her again. He raised the son of the widow of Nain. He raised Lazarus. After he'd been in the tomb 4 days, he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he came forth. He had the power to restore life. I believe he showed us those examples of him restoring life to the dead so that we could understand he has the power to give life. John chapter 5 verse 25 speaks of how he says the hour is coming and now is when the dead, those that are dead in trespasses and sins, the dead shall hear his voice and shall live. Bless your hearts. He has power to raise the dead naturally. He has power to give spiritual life to those that are dead in trespasses and sins. And someday, if you keep reading there in John chapter 5, he says, "Verily I say unto you, the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth." He has the power. He has that power. He will exercise that power when he comes again, and all that are in the graves, he's going to raise to life again. And all of his people he's going to take home to be with him. And all the rest will be consigned to the lake of fire forever. Have you heard his voice? Do you love him? Are you following him? Do you have that assurance that he has spoken to you? May God help us to rejoice, not staggering in unbelief, but believing that what he has promised, he is able to perform, because there was never a man like this man, the root that sprang out of a dry ground. May God bless you, is our prayer.